feel like Georgia is changing really fast, and like people are more engaged politically, I guess.
This hour, we go to the primary elections in Georgia, one of the most pivotal battleground states.
The latest on that and other stories this Tuesday, May 24th, on All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Elsa Chang.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. A CDC survey shows about 2 in 5 teens report feeling persistently sad or hopeless. Schools struggle to figure out how to provide students with more mental health support.
There is such a great need for social workers across the state. Being a small rural district, we're just not equipped to compete with some of those, you know, larger districts.
And a Ukrainian medic records body cam footage during her time in Mariupol before being captured by Russian troops.
She had been planning on just kind of recording her time as a medic. And then the war started.
Those stories after these news headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. As many as 14 children and a teacher are reportedly dead after a gunman opened fire at a Texas elementary school today, with others taken to area hospitals. That's according to Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The victims reported to have been shot at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, a town of about 16,000 people, some 85 miles from San Antonio. Speaking at an unrelated news conference in Abilene, Texas today, Abbott described the chaotic scene.
I want to tell you that what happened in Uvalde is a horrific tragedy that cannot be tolerated in the state of Texas. And there is swift action being taken by local law enforcement as well as the Texas Department of Public Safety. They obviously now know who the shooter was, and the shooter is no longer alive.
The deceased gunman has been identified as 18-year-old Salvador Ronis, who was reportedly armed with multiple weapons. It's unclear whether all the injuries were a result of gunshot wounds. Republicans in Georgia today will decide whether to boot one of President Trump's biggest enemies from office that oversees voting in that state. As NPR's Miles Parks reports, incumbent Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger is facing a primary challenger who denies the 2020 election results.
The race for Georgia's Secretary of State is already among the highest profile and expensive contests of its kind ever. After the 2020 election, then-President Trump asked Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to find votes. Raffensperger declined, and now he's facing a primary challenge from U.S. Representative Jody Heiss, who objected to the 2020 election results at the Capitol on January 6th. Here's Raffensperger speaking to NPR in February about the GOP primary contest.
I'm standing on the truth, and the people running against me aren't. And I'd rather be in my spot than their spot.
The race will head to a runoff if no candidate gets more than 50% of the vote. Miles Parks, NPR News.
President Biden is flying back to Washington after wrapping up a 5-day trip to Asia, NPR's Windsor Johnston reports.
The group known as the Quad discussed their responses to the ongoing war and humanitarian crisis in Ukraine and reiterated their strong resolve to maintain peace and stability in the region. Speaking in Tokyo, President Biden said the world is navigating a dark hour in its shared history.
Innocent civilians are killed in the streets, and millions of refugees are internally displaced as well as exiled. And this is more than just a European issue. It's a global issue.
The Quad also wrapped up today's summit with a joint statement vowing their steadfast commitment to a free and open Indo-Pacific that is inclusive and resilient. Windsor Johnston, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow was up 48 points. The Nasdaq fell 270 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Progressive Insurance, home of the Name Your Price tool, so drivers can see coverage options at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
For NPR News in the Twin Cities, I'm Elena C. Philanthropist Mackenzie Scott has donated $6 million to Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities. CEO Pat Sukum says the gift is the largest the organization has ever received. He says it will advance its mission of connecting youth to adult mentors.
We have some short-term needs that we're going to fill, but long-term, we're actually entering into strategic planning. It was almost coincidental with timing. But what this is going to do is really supercharge our ability to be transformative.
The donation is part of nearly $123 million that Scott is giving to Big Brothers Big Sisters agencies nationwide. She's donated more than $12 billion to more than 1,000 nonprofits nationwide since 2020, including several groups in Minnesota. New avian influenza cases in the state's commercial poultry flocks have been slowing down in recent weeks. However, health officials say that doesn't mean the outbreak is over. Linda Glazer is interim executive director of the Minnesota Board of Animal Health.
Certainly, the warmer weather, and if it's drier weather, is really helpful in reducing how long avian influenza can survive in the environment, and that's what we need.
Avian flu has caused the deaths of more than 3 million poultry birds in 28 Minnesota counties. Glazer says tighter biosecurity measures have helped prevent the virus from spreading from farm to farm. Most of the recent cases have been in backyard flocks. Glazer says more study is needed to determine whether the virus could continue to circulate in wild birds and return with the fall migration. Officers were called Sunday afternoon to an apartment building just south of the Lowry Tunnel on the 500 block of Ridgewood Avenue. There, they found 52-year-old Eric Andre Lamont David dead. Investigators believe he had died prior to Sunday. The Hennepin County Medical Examiner has ruled his death a homicide, citing multiple sharp force injuries. It's the 37th homicide reported in Minneapolis this year. In sports, the Twins host the Detroit Tigers again tonight at Target Fields. The Twins beat the Tigers last night. They currently lead the Central Division by 4.5 games. This is NPR News.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Washington.
And I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California. At this hour, we are following news out of Texas. Governor Greg Abbott says a gunman has shot and killed 14 students and one teacher at an elementary school in the town of Uvalde. Abbott says the 18-year-old shooter is dead. We will be following this story throughout this evening.
And now we turn to Georgia, where the state is in its final day of primary voting. Georgia is one of the most consequential political battleground states in the country. And for Republicans, the most consequential race is Vlasic died at his home earlier this month in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. He was 96 years old. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
It is Tuesday afternoon. I'm Tom Cran, NPR News in the Twin Cities. It's 4:18. We're following developments in Texas. Uvalde, Texas, a town not far from San Antonio. School shooting there. The chief of police giving a news conference just moments ago, confirming what he called a mass casualty event at Robb Elementary, a second, third, and fourth grade school. And he said there were, quote, several injuries and some deaths, and the suspect is deceased. So he did not confirm the number we heard earlier from Texas Governor Abbott. You may have seen Texas Governor Abbott saying 14 children and a teacher at that Texas elementary school were killed in the incident there. So as things develop and we learn more, we'll tell you more here on NPR News. It's 4:19.
Support for mental health reporting comes from St. Mary's University, offering a Bachelor of Science in Applied Psychology. Learn how to create real-world solutions for today's complex problems. More at smumn.edu/inspire.
Programming supported by Sala Architects, committed to creating thoughtfully crafted and intimately connected design solutions for a wide range of architectural projects. More at salaarc.com. Sala Architects, simple, natural, timeless.
The abortion debate doesn't usually focus on economics, but denying access to the procedure can really hurt women's prospects.
To obtain more education, to avoid poverty.
I'll just simply say that as a guy raised by a black woman in abject poverty, I'm thankful to be here.
The Economics of Abortion on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition starts at 4 a.m. when you wake up. All the news you need here on NPR News each weekday morning. It's 4:20.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Raymond James, a firm focused on transforming lives, businesses, and communities through tailored wealth management, banking, and capital markets solutions. Learn more at RaymondJames.com. And from Indeed, committed to helping businesses attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Elsa Chang. We're going to talk now about an issue that's been front and center this year for many parents, teachers, school leaders, and even the Biden administration. Student
Day and a high into the mid-60s. But right now in the Twin Cities, 69 degrees, and it is 4:30 at NPR News. At 4:30, we're continuing to monitor the situation in Uvalde, Texas, where police say several were injured, some killed, in a shooting at an elementary school. At a press conference about 10 minutes ago, the chief of police did not say how many are dead. As more details are available, we'll bring them to you throughout the afternoon here on All Things Considered. From NPR News, NBC News is reporting that President Biden will speak on the subject later this evening. So stay with us for the latest.
Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. In Texas, at least 14 children and a teacher were killed in a mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, about 85 miles from San Antonio. Several others were injured. Governor Greg Abbott says the gunman, an 18-year-old man who lived in the town, is also dead. He's believed to have shot his grandmother before opening fire at the school. Abbott also says two officers were shot but not seriously injured. The Justice Department says one of the world's biggest mining and commodity trading companies, Glencore, has agreed to plead guilty to corruption and bribery charges and will pay $1.1 billion in fines. Attorney General Merrick Garland says those charges include bribing foreign officials in seven countries and...
The second plea involves Glencore's U.S. commodities trading arm, Glencore Limited, which engaged in a scheme to manipulate fuel oil prices at two of the busiest commercial shipping ports in the United States over the course of 8 years.
He says two former Glencore traders have pleaded guilty for their involvement in the company's crimes. The Army Naming Commission has recommended new names for nine bases named after Confederate leaders. Texas Public Radio's Carson Frame reports Fort Hood in Central Texas is among them.
Congress passed a law last year that required the military to rename the bases by 2023. The panel tasked with that job has suggested renaming Fort Hood after Richard E. Cavazos, a Texas-born Korean War veteran who became the Army's first Latino four-star general. The other bases in question are Fort Bragg, Fort Rucker, Fort Polk, Fort Benning, Fort Gordon, Fort A.P. Hill, Fort Lee, and Fort Pickett. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Congress still have to approve the recommendations. I'm Carson Frame in San Antonio.
Wall Street ended the day in mixed territory, the Dow up 48, the Nasdaq down 270. This is NPR.
Support comes from Delta Dental of Minnesota Foundation, improving oral health while advancing social equities by expanding access to dental care and investing in the communities across Minnesota. DeltaDentalMN.org/NPR.
For NPR News in the Twin Cities, I'm Perry Finelli. Mental health workers at Allina Health and M Health Fairview are striking only today, drawing attention to work conditions and amid contract negotiations. Eric Immler is a psychiatric associate at the M Health Fairview University of Minnesota Medical Center. He says between closures of inpatient facilities, poor staff retention, and safety issues, it felt like the last straw.
So we're wanting to raise awareness of these conditions, and tomorrow we're going to go back to work because our patients need us. But at this point, we didn't know what to do.
Hundreds of psychiatric associates and mental health specialists at the two systems voted to join SEIU Healthcare Minnesota last year. Fairview said in a statement it has negotiated in good faith, but the current contract proposal violates its standards of care. It's an issue union members dispute. Negotiations are set to resume this week and next. Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport has installed a new flight simulator for passengers. Tim Nelson has more.
The mock plane cabin comes complete with windows and seats. It's now installed in a private area on Concourse C that allows passengers to experience arriving at an airport, getting through security, finding a plane, and getting into a seat without ever actually leaving the terminal. Airport spokesperson Jeff Lee says it's part of an array of programs to help travelers called Navigating MSP.
Which helps those with disabilities that may make it difficult or challenging to fly the very first time, or may have a fear of flying, could be young people, could be older people, or anybody with a range of challenges. And the program essentially gives them a practice run through the airport.
The simulator is free, but available by appointment only. Information on the program is online at mspairport.com/navigating. I'm Tim Nelson.
A longtime engineer and bridge expert is Minnesota's new transportation commissioner. Nancy Dobenberger has a graduate degree in engineering from the University of Minnesota and been with MnDOT since 1999. Dobenberger takes over for Margaret Anderson Kelleher, who left to run the Public Works Department for the city of Minneapolis. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from CFP, Certified Financial Planner Professionals, focused on providing holistic financial planning from retirement and investments to taxes and estate planning in the client's best interest. Let'sMakeAPlan.org. And from Procter & Gamble, maker of Align Probiotic, a daily supplement to support digestive health, containing a probiotic strain developed by gastroenterologists with 20 years of research. More at AlignProbiotics.com.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Washington. 14 children and one teacher are dead after a gunman opened fire in a Texas elementary school. The gunman is also dead. Authorities believe the 18-year-old shooter was acting alone. I'm joined now by Mark Duvalson, the editor-in-chief of the San Antonio Express News. And Mark, I'm sorry we have to talk about this, especially so soon after what happened in Buffalo, New York. Thanks for making time
for us.
Would you briefly walk us through what we know about this incident?
Well, Sasha, we've been following it all afternoon. The first reports came in around 1 o'clock that all the schools in Uvalde had been locked down because of the shooter situation. And then a little bit later, that was limited to just one school, Robb Elementary School. And then we began to get reports of students arriving at the emergency room at Uvalde Memorial Hospital. Parents were told to report to the cafeteria and await further instructions. And then we received reports at University Hospital in San Antonio, which is almost 90 miles east of Uvalde, was also receiving patients, no information available about their condition. And that was the state of information for a couple of hours until about a half hour ago or so, Greg Abbott, of Texas held a news conference and revealed the full scope of it, that 14 students and one teacher had been killed, and the 15, including the gunman.
We mentioned that the gunman is believed to be 18, believed to have been acting alone, as you just said, is now dead. Is anything else known about this person?
Very little known. There's a report that he was a student at Uvalde High School. But other than that, there's a briefing happening right now in Uvalde where we have a reporter. So this information is now emerging in real time. The police and school officials are holding a briefing as we speak in the city.
Mark, there are also reports of several injuries in addition to those fatalities. Can you tell us anything about the injuries?
Don't really know much about the injuries. The initial reports were that two people had died and 14 were injured. And that was the state of the information for a couple of hours. And it was really only at Governor Greg Abbott's news conference that the fatality toll of 14 became known. And we don't have any specific information about injuries, how many or their severity.
This was an elementary school. What can you tell us about this particular school?
It's in a small town that is about an hour and a half drive west of San Antonio, best known in some circles as the hometown of Matthew McConaughey. It's out deep in the hill country of Texas. The grades where this happened, we're told, were the second through fourth grade section of the school. Obviously very tragic for children of that age to be exposed to something like this. It's a part of the outskirts of San Antonio that has seen a lot of population growth in the last couple of years. A lot of people moving in from other states, drawn to the kind of scenic beauty and the small town feel of places like Uvalde, and hardly expecting to confront something like this at their local school.
Is it a small enough town that it's hard to imagine not everyone won't be affected in some way or likely know some of these people who were injured or hurt?
Sasha, just following them on social media, which I've been doing for most of the day, I could see people, local real estate agents or the head of the refrigerator repair company, sharing information about, a brother or a relative who worked at the school or who worked at the hospital. It's a place where, interconnections like that are thick, and word was an enormous anxiety, prayers being shared on social media as people who knew each other or had connections were coming together on the Facebook page of the school and the police department to try to find information and share condolences and commiserate.
And Mark, what are Texas officials saying so far? How are they responding?
Just really was shocked at this point. We don't really know much other than that San Antonio Police Department has sent many kinds of resources, SWAT team and investigators to help. I believe I saw a report that the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms was on the scene. Texas State troopers are being made available to assist in the investigation. But it looks as if it is, from what the governor said, a single shooter believed to have been acting alone.
That's Mark DeVolson, editor-in-chief of the San Antonio Express News. Mark, thank you for these details.
You're welcome. Happy to do it.
In the world of video game production, workers are often pushed to put in long hours in the run-up to a release. And harassment and bullying have been problems that
didn't release any names. The Summit of the Americas is set to begin in less than 2 weeks in Los Angeles. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
Tuesday afternoons, all things considered, an afternoon of tough news. We will give you updates as they come in on the situation with the school shooting in Texas. NPR working that story, and we'll have the latest at the top of the hour for you. But on this Tuesday, it's time to check in with meteorologist Paul Huttner, and I see tomorrow something you almost never see, a 100% chance of rain.
Yeah, I think that's true.
5-star ratings. House not cooling? Sedgwick is offering a special opportunity on a high-efficiency Lennox air conditioner. Learn more at mncooling.com.
It was nice to hear John Williams and Yo-Yo Ma as a sort of balm on an afternoon of difficult news. Thank you for joining us here on NPR News, and thanks for your trust this afternoon. 91.1 KNOW Minneapolis, St. Paul. We continue to monitor developments at a school shooting in Texas. We'll have details coming up here in just a moment or two. For the evening, it looks like this. It's 68 in the Twin Cities with rain after midnight and all day tomorrow. Low around 50, lower 50, steady temperature tomorrow. A bit cooler and pretty rainy. It is 5 p.m. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says 14 children and one adult died in a shooting at a Texas elementary school today. The suspect is dead.
Just really was shocked at this point. We don't really know much.
We will get what we know just ahead. It's All Things Considered here on NPR News with Elsa Chang and Sasha Pfeiffer on duty today. I'm Tom Cran in the Twin Cities. Also coming up, forecasters are predicting 14 to 21 named storms will form in the Atlantic this hurricane season. It is the seventh year in a row an above-average number of storms are forecast. Stay with us as we continue to monitor developments in Texas. We'll bring you the latest throughout All Things Considered here on this Tuesday, the 24th of May. First, top developments at 5 p.m.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Another tragic school shooting, this time in the town of Uvalde, some 85 miles west of San Antonio. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says a young man armed with multiple weapons, including possibly a handgun and a rifle, entered an elementary school and opened fire. Abbott says the 18-year-old gunman was also killed.
He shot and killed horrifically, incomprehensibly, 14 students and killed a teacher.
It's still not clear why the gunman opened fire at Robb Elementary School. Around a dozen children were reportedly being treated at area hospitals. The shooting comes less than 2 weeks after a gunman opened fire at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, killing 10 black shoppers. President Biden is expected to address the nation regarding the shooting tonight. An even more contagious subvariant of the Omicron variant is now the dominant strain in the U.S. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Here's NPR's Rob Stein.
The subvariant, known as BA.2.12.1, spreads more easily than any other variant to come before it. That's one big reason why the U.S. is getting hit by yet another surge of infections. More than 100,000 new infections are being reported every day now, and experts think many more people are actually catching the virus every day since so many people are testing themselves at home or not testing at all. This new super contagious subvariant doesn't appear to make people sicker, but so many people are catching the virus that the number of people getting so sick they're ending up in a hospital is on the rise again, too. Rob Stein, NPR News.
Massachusetts' highest court is rejecting a request by oil giant ExxonMobil to dismiss a lawsuit accusing the company of misleading the public about the role its products play in causing climate change. The suit filed in 2019 by Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey alleges the company launched an effort reminiscent of the tobacco industry's long denial campaign about the dangerous effects of cigarettes. The suit goes on to contend ExxonMobil sought to deceive consumers and investors. Stocks ended the day mixed, with the S&P and the NASDAQ both down and the Dow up slightly. More from NPR's David Gura.
Monday's relief rally, which came on the heels of another week of declines, faded fast as Wall Street was once again focused on retail and technology. Amazon dropped to a 52-week low, and Snap saw its shares fall by 43% after the social media company warned this is going to be a tougher quarter than expected. It expects to see lower revenues, and its CEO says hiring is going to slow. Facebook's and Google's parent companies both lost ground, and the NASDAQ ended the day down by about 2.4%. Amid fears of a possible recession, the yield on the 10-year Treasury fell to 2.73%. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
Taking a look at the numbers, the Dow was up 48 points. The NASDAQ closed down 270 points. The S&P 500 was down 32 points today. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working together to create a just world where all people have access to renewable energy, clean air and water, and healthy food. On the web at theschmidt.org.
For NPR News in the Twin Cities, I'm Perry Finelli. University of Minnesota Regents are weighing a budget that includes a 3.5% tuition increase at the U's biggest campus. That's the recommendation made by President Joan Gable's administration, citing inflation and associated costs at the U. It's expected to amount to nearly $500 more per year for resident undergraduates and $1,100 for out-of-state students. Gable told NPR News the tuition increase is not the only way the U is approaching rising costs.
We're covering a lot of our increase in expenses from internal reallocations, cuts. We are at a historic low in our headcount. We had raise freezes a couple of years ago that are still working their way through the system. So the tuition increase is in order to contribute to that increase in expenses that the university is experiencing.
The proposed increase is larger than the university has seen in recent years. The Catholic Diocese of St. Cloud has added another priest to its list of clergy who likely abuse minors following an allegation of past sexual misconduct. Reverend Arthur Hoppe was a priest in the St. Cloud Diocese from the late 1940s through the 90s. He served in parishes in Morris, St. Cloud, Painesville, Alexandria, and other central Minnesota communities. He died in 2019. St. Cloud Bishop Donald Kettler scheduled listening sessions for anyone with concerns or accusations of sexual misconduct today in Painesville and Alexandria. The Two Harbors City Council has voted to set a recall election for embattled Mayor Chris Swanson. The council voted 6-1 last night to move ahead with the recall vote. Only Swanson voted no. The move came after more than 500 residents in the town about a half hour north of Duluth signed a petition calling for it. Swanson has come under fire for potential conflicts of interest between his role as mayor and his private business pursuits, including a proposal to develop an underwater hotel. According to the city's charter, Swanson has 5 business days to resign. If he does not, the council would set a date for the recall vote, likely in August. This is NPR News.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Washington.
And I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California. There has been a shooting at an elementary school in Texas. It happened at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, about 85 miles west of San Antonio. Here's what we know so far. According to the governor of Texas, 14 children and a teacher are dead. More than a dozen other children have been injured. Governor Greg Abbott says the suspected gunman is dead. Texas Public Radio's Brian Kirkpatrick is in Uvalde and joins us now. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
So I've mentioned just some of the details that we know so far. Can you add to them? What have you learned?
We understand, according to the governor's office, the gunman entered the school around 11:32, armed with possibly two weapons, and opened fire. And as you reported earlier, 14 students dead and one teacher. They wrapped up a news conference here at the Civic Center in Uvalde, but did not place actual numbers on dead or wounded. So we're still waiting for more information here at the Civic Center.
And how much do we know about what kind of firearms were involved?
The governor's office apparently reported that he may have been armed with a rifle and a handgun. But again, the local investigators have been shying away from details. They would not take any questions after a news conference that wrapped up about 30 minutes ago. We're hoping to hear more again later this evening.
Okay. Well, Brian, what is the scene like where you are right now? Like, where exactly have you been in Uvalde?
Uvalde is a very small town, largely farming and ranching, a little more than an hour's drive west of San Antonio, very peaceful town. The scene is largely here at the Civic Center, where parents or loved ones have been coming and going, checking on the information about their loved ones through authorities here at the Civic Center, but have been quickly ushered away by law enforcement. So far, family members don't seem, are obviously very distraught, and we haven't seen much comment right now.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little more about the town of Uvalde or the surrounding area? Like, just give us a sense.
Well, yeah, Uvalde is one of those typical Texas towns that largely revolves around Friday night football. There's a lot of civic pride through your Friday night football games, and you'll see booster signs up in all the windows during the school year. And these kind of towns are very close-knit because of that, and that includes their schools. They're a central part of the community, so when something happens to a school, it really affects everybody here because a lot of folks that grow up here, live and die here, and, it's that kind of connected community.
Yeah.
It's also, that's hopefully gives you some idea.
Well, as to the suspected gunman, who we are told is now dead, do we know anything about him? We are hearing that he was 18 years old. Do we know anything about a possible motive?
We do not. We just know that he's 18 and here from Uvalde. We're, again, still waiting on more information. There's a lot of law enforcement here at the Civic Center, a lot of family members, a lot of community members. The county judge showed up here, Bill Mitchell, and he has been greeting people as they come to the Civic Center and offering his condolences.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. So how have local and other state officials been responding? Can you give us an idea?
I have been nonstop since this happened, and I've been going between the school and the Civic Center, but I believe a lot of state officials, local officials, already expressing, condolences and dismay, that yet another one of these shootings has happened in this country.
It never seems to end. Well, as we've been told by the governor's office, 14 children and one teacher are now dead. But those who are injured, do you know anything about what condition they are in at the moment? What do we know?
We understand they went to medical facilities here in Uvalde and also in San Antonio. In fact, driving out here, I had several ambulances passing by me going back towards San Antonio as I was coming into Uvalde. But as far as conditions, no, we're not hearing anything on that either.
Okay. That is Brian Kirkpatrick with Texas Public Radio reporting from Uvalde with the latest details about the shooting that has left at least 14 children and one teacher dead. Thank you very much, Brian. We are going to be staying with this story throughout the evening. All right, we're just 1 week away from the start of hurricane season, and federal forecasters are predicting a whopping 14 to 21 named storms this year. It's part of a trend of more destructive storms driven in part by climate change.
Good afternoon. I'm Tom Cran, NPR News. All things considered for this Tuesday afternoon, we continue to monitor developments in Texas, where Governor Greg Abbott says 15 people were killed in a shooting today at an elementary school. The governor says the suspected shooter, an 18-year-old man, also died and was believed to be killed by responding officers. We don't have all the details on this story that is developing, but we'll bring you what we know throughout the afternoon and early evening here on NPR News. As you heard Elsa Chang say, we'll stay with the story throughout the evening. So stay with us here on NPR News. Now, we expect President Biden to make an address on this matter at 7:15 our time in Minnesota. And when that happens, we will bring it to you live here on NPR News. And we'll continue with news of the day. Stay with us, all things considered, on a Tuesday.
Programming and supported by Newgate School, providing automotive training for underserved young adults in our community. This spring, why not donate?
Thanks, guys. Take care. Good to see you, Karen.
Bye, neighbor.
And stay with us, all things considered, from NPR News.
Programming is supported by Talk, a reservation and event platform with options all around the Twin Cities, from neighborhood pizzerias to downtown rooftop destinations. Learn more at ExploreTalk. That's TOCK.com. Delicious starts here.
Just letting you know, because of developments in Texas, we're going to stay with all things considered here on NPR News throughout the early evening. And we also plan at 7:15 to bring you President Biden's remarks when they begin. That's what the latest we're hearing from the White House. NPR News, 91.1 KNOW, Minneapolis, St. Paul. 67 degrees, rain after midnight down to around 50. And that chance of rain after midnight and through tomorrow is pretty good, at 100%, basically, lower 50s through the day tomorrow. Warmer, the chance of rain diminishes Thursday, mid-60s for a high. It's 5:30. Coming up, we'll get an update on the situation in Uvalde, Texas, where Governor Greg Abbott says a gunman killed 14 children and one teacher at an elementary school there earlier today. It's a developing story. We'll continue to bring you new information as we get it. Also ahead, how a school in rural California is addressing racist bullying, what you need to know about inflation in the country. We'll also have your forecast, rainy one, from meteorologist Paul Huttner. First, the news at 5:30.
Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. In Texas, authorities are investigating a mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde. It's about 85 miles from San Antonio, that left at least 14 students and one teacher dead. Pete Arredondo is Uvalde School District Police Chief.
The suspect is deceased at this point. DPS is assisting with the investigation. And at this point, the investigation is leading to tell us that the suspect did act alone during this heinous crime.
Governor Greg Abbott says the suspect was an 18-year-old man who lived in town and reportedly shot his grandmother before attacking the school. President Biden ordered flags at the White House and federal buildings be flown at half staff to honor the victims. Officials from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, are predicting another above-average hurricane season this year. Carly Berlin from member station WWNO has more from New Orleans.
This year's Atlantic hurricane season begins in just a few days on June 1st, and NOAA predicts another active hurricane season this year. If the forecasts play out, 2022 will be the seventh above-average year in a row. At a press conference in New York on Tuesday, the agency said it anticipates 14 to 21 named storms this season. Of those, they anticipate 6 to 10 will strengthen into hurricanes. And of those, they expect 3 to 6 to become major hurricanes, Category 3 or higher. Forecasters attribute warmer waters to climate change, triggering storms with increased intensity. For NPR News, I'm Carly Berlin in New Orleans.
Wall Street ended the day in mixed territory. The Dow up 48 points. The Nasdaq down 270. That's down 2.3%. S&P 500 down 32. You're listening to NPR News.
Support comes from Summit Orthopedics. If back pain is stopping you from enjoying everyday activities, Summit can help. No referrals needed, online scheduling, and same-day appointments at summitortho.com. Start at Summit.
For NPR News in the Twin Cities, I'm Perry Finelli. Candidates hoping to win the Minnesota congressional seat left open by the death of Republican Representative Jim Hagedorn are getting their first test before voters today. The winners of GOP and DFL primaries will meet in August to determine who will finish the last few months of Hagedorn's term. Republican hopefuls include Hagedorn's widow, Jennifer Carnahan, State Representative Jeremy Munson, and former State Representative Brad Finstad. A U.S. House subcommittee heard testimony today on a bill proposed by Minnesota DFL Congresswoman Betty McCollum that would permanently ban copper mining across a large swath of northeastern Minnesota. The Biden administration has proposed a 20-year mining moratorium across about 365 square miles of federal land within the watershed of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. This bill would make that permanent. Former U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell testified in support of it.
The science is clear. Permanent protection for the headwaters of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness is the right thing to do for both present and future generations.
Mining advocates say copper, nickel, and other metals are needed to build electric vehicles and other technology for a green economy. Philanthropist Mackenzie Scott has donated $6 million to Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities. Dan Crocker reports it's the largest donation from a single individual in the group's history.
When Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities CEO Pat Sukum got the call a month ago informing him of the $6 million grant, he nearly fell out of his chair.
I can honestly say it's probably the most unprofessional I've ever been on a call. I was hooting and hollering and jumping around the room.
Sukum says the grant will have a transformative impact on his organization, which partners youth with adult mentors. The donation is slightly larger than the nonprofit's annual budget. It's part of nearly $123 million that Scott gave to Big Brothers Big Sisters agencies nationwide. Earlier this year, Scott gave nearly $50 million to several other Minnesota nonprofits, including Boys and Girls Clubs, Planned Parenthood, and Habitat for Humanity. I'm Dan Crocker.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Procter & Gamble, maker of Align Probiotic, a daily supplement to support digestive health, containing a probiotic strain developed by gastroenterologists with 20 years of research. More at AlignProbiotics.com. And from C3AI. C3AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable problems. C3AI is Enterprise AI.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Washington.
And I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California. We begin this hour with the latest news out of Uvalde, Texas. For those of you with children nearby, what you're about to hear may not be appropriate for young listeners. Earlier today, a gunman walked into an elementary school and killed 15 people. It is a developing story that we're going to be updating all evening long. And joining us now with the latest is NPR's Corey Turner. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Elsa.
So I understand that the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, spoke at a press conference not too long ago. What did he say?
That's right. He spoke in Abilene. The governor said an 18-year-old male who is reported to have been a student at the local high school there in Uvalde abandoned his vehicle and around 11:30 entered Robb Elementary School, which serves second, third, and fourth graders in Uvalde. He apparently, the governor said, walked in with a handgun and perhaps a rifle, though Abbott did say that is not yet confirmed. Abbott told reporters that 15 people were killed in the rampage, 14 of them children and one teacher. He also said the suspected shooter is dead, and it is believed that he was killed by responding officers. Abbott said two responding officers were struck by rounds but were not injured seriously. And then finally, also, we know that President Biden, who is returning from a trip to Asia, is going to address the nation around 8:15 Eastern tonight.
Right. Okay. So the suspected gunman, 18 years old, now dead, was a student at the local high school. Do we know anything else about him?
We're not yet reporting his name, but Governor Abbott did say that the gunman is reported to have shot his grandmother before he entered the school. And obviously that conjures memories of another mass shooting from 10 years ago when a 20-year-old gunman in Newtown, Connecticut shot and killed his mother at their home and then drove to Sandy Hook Elementary School where he shot and killed 20 children and 6 staff members.
I mean, it's so hard to believe that it's been a decade since Sandy Hook. When you think about the conversation around gun control, around gun rights, around mental health, I mean, how much do you think that conversation has evolved over the last 10 years?
If I'm being honest, not so much, Elsa. I was thinking just this morning, before the shooting of the time I was in Texas, it was almost exactly 4 years ago, and I was there to cover another school shooting. It was in Santa Fe. 8 students were killed. 2 teachers were shot to death. In terms of preventing shootings like this, I do feel like schools have changed quite a bit. In many places, they have really stepped up efforts to help students with mental health struggles. In fact, you know, just a few years ago, I actually visited Scarlett Lewis. She was the mother of Jesse Lewis, who was one of the kids who was killed at Sandy Hook. And since then, she has been a real force behind getting schools to embrace teaching kids compassion and really building their social and emotional skills. You know, at the time she told me, it's all I do. It is the focus of my life. Every waking moment, every breath, every word that comes out of my mouth is about nurturing, healing, love. But in terms of gun control efforts, Elsa, we know very little has changed. In fact, after Newtown, they really hit a brick wall. And I'll just add, in a twist of awkward timing, Governor Abbott, along with former President Trump, as well as Texas Senators Ted Cruz and John Cornyn, are confirmed speakers at the National Rifle Association's annual meeting later this week in Houston, about a 4-hour drive from Uvalde.
That is NPR's Corey Turner. Thank you, Corey.
You're welcome.
Racist bullying on high school campuses is on the rise. The increase comes as more rural residents identify as multiracial, and their children are attending environmental health at Boston University School of Public Health. John, thank you.
Thank you.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Tom Crane in the Twin Cities. A note, we're going to stay with All Things Considered through the evening because of developments in Texas, a school shooting there. So stay with NPR News throughout the evening. Meteorologist Paul Huttner joins me now to talk about the weather. And looks like tomorrow we've got some rain on the horizon. Tell us.
It's free. Works for Apple or Android. Go to your app store and search for NPR News.
There is breaking news this evening from a town not far from San Antonio, Texas, a school shooting there. We're going to get the latest in just a moment. A reminder, throughout the evening here, we're going to bring you All Things Considered, updating with the latest information, including President Biden scheduled to address the nation at 7:15 our time. But the latest now from the BBC covering the shooting at a Texas elementary school earlier today.
At least 14 children and one teacher were killed at Robb Elementary in the small town of Uvalde, west of San Antonio. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, gave details of the shooting to the media.
First, I want to tell you that what happened in Uvalde is a horrific tragedy that cannot be tolerated in the state of Texas. And there is swift action being taken by local law enforcement, as well as the Texas Department of Public Safety. They obviously now know who the shooter was, and the shooter is no longer alive. Let me give you some details, and then I'll give you a summation about that. The shooter was Salvador Romas, an 18-year-old male who resided in Uvalde. It's believed that he abandoned his vehicle and entered into the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde with a handgun, and he may have also had a rifle. But that is not yet confirmed, according to my most recent report. He shot and killed horrifically, incomprehensibly, 14 students and killed a teacher. Mr. Romas, the shooter, he himself is deceased and is believed that responding officers killed him. It appears that two responding officers were struck by rounds, but have no serious injuries. The Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District Police Department is the investigating agency, and we will provide them and the city of Uvalde substantial investigative and patrol assistance. We're in the process of obtaining detailed background information on the subject, his motive, the types of weapons used, the legal authority to possess them, and conduct a comprehensive crime scene investigation and reconstruction, and identify and interview all witnesses and provide victim services and other support as needed. Victor Escalon is the Texas Department of Public Safety's South Texas Regional Director. He is on the scene, and everything that can be done will be done. In addition to that, it is being reported that the subject shot his grandmother right before he went into the school. And I have no further information about the connection between those two shootings. And the subject is reported to be a student, to have been a student at Uvalde High School, and is a U.S. citizen. Bottom line is this, however, and that is, when parents drop their kids off at school, they have every expectation to know that they're going to be able to pick their child up when that school day ends. And there are families who are in mourning right now, and the state of Texas is in mourning with them for the reality that these parents are not going to be able to pick up their children. Our job is multifold. First, to make sure we address exactly what happened at this crime scene, and then second, to make sure we take that information and do everything that is necessary to ensure that crime scenes like this are not going to be repeated in the future, and that we're going to be able to ensure the safety and security of our schools.
The governor of the U.S. state of Texas, Greg Abbott. Our correspondent in the U.S., David Willis, joins me again. David, tell me about the mood in the United States tonight.
Well, very grim, Alex, and President Biden has been briefed on the shooting. We're told he's ordered flags to be flown at half-mast at the White House and is due back in Washington, D.C. in about a couple of hours' time, when he will make his first remarks about this terrible tragedy. And he will have to find the words to express, to address a fatal shooting affecting the youngest and the most vulnerable in society here. Joe Biden, of course, has long sought to tighten America's gun control laws. He proposed a bill which would demand background checks on all gun sales, a ban on the possession of firearms without serial numbers and so-called ghost guns. But that legislation has failed to get through Congress. And there is, unfortunately, a familiar pattern to all this, Alex. In the wake of a mass shooting, there's normally hand-wringing, there are calls for tighter gun control laws, but political gridlock then takes over, stymies any such efforts, and the whole thing goes away until the next time. In the wake of the Sandy Hook shooting, Congress proposed a bipartisan bill expanding background checks for guns, for gun buyers, and a ban on assault weapons. More than 50 senators, indeed, including some Republicans, supported that legislation, but it failed to get the necessary 60 votes to be passed into law. And at the time, then-President Obama called it a shameful day in Washington.
David Willis, in the US, at least 15 people dead in another mass shooting at a school in the United States. Stay tuned, we'll keep you updated.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Progressive. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses from retailers to tradespeople, covering a variety of business needs with a range of coverages. More for entrepreneurs at progressivecommercial.com. And from Avast, a global cybersecurity company with more than 435 million users, Avast is dedicated to helping people take control of their safety and privacy online. Learn more at avast.com. And from Workday, an enterprise management cloud focused on providing organizations with a system to continuously plan for all what-if scenarios. Workday, the finance, HR, and planning system for a changing world.
Thanks for trusting NPR News on a difficult news day. We'll stay with All Things Considered through the evening. President Joe Biden returning from his Asia trip aboard Air Force One spoke with Texas Governor Abbott to offer any and all assistance he needs. That's according to Tamara Keith. President Biden will make remarks in the 7 o'clock hour, sometime after 7 p.m. Minnesota time. We expect it to be about 7:15. If you stay with NPR News, you'll hear those remarks live. It's All Things Considered, continuing here on NPR News.
Support comes from the Ordway, presenting the Flint Hills Family Festival, May 31st through June 4th. Back in person this year, the festival features indoor and outdoor performances and activities for kids of all ages. More at ordway.org/festival.
Marketplace preempted because of the special coverage tonight, but on Wall Street today, the Dow was up 48 points. The Dow Industrial Average up 48. The NASDAQ was down about 2.3% or 271 points. This is member-supported NPR News, 91.1 KNOW, Minneapolis, St. Paul. 67 in the Twin Cities. Not bad this evening before the rain begins around midnight. We'll get down to around 50. Chance of rain at 100%. Rain tomorrow, steady temperature in the lower 50s. Chilly and rainy all day. It is 6 p.m. All Things Considered continues.
What happened in Uvalde is a horrific tragedy that cannot be tolerated.
A school shooting in Uvalde, Texas has left 14 children and one teacher dead.
It's Tuesday, May 24th on All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Elsa Chang.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Primary elections are unfolding in Georgia, one of the most important battleground states.
At the beginning of the election cycle, it felt like, you know, Donald Trump was a freight train if he was against you. And now it really kind of feels like a matchbox car. Maybe it hurts your toe a little bit, but it doesn't knock you off your feet.
And schools struggle to provide students with more mental health support. A CDC survey shows that 2 in 5 teens report feeling persistently sad or hopeless.
There is such a great need for social workers across the state. Being a small rural district, we're just not equipped to compete with some of those, you know, larger districts.
Now, news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says 14 children and a teacher have been killed in yet another mass shooting in America. A gunman opened fire at an elementary school in the town of Uvalde in South Texas. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports the governor says the gunman has been killed.
Governor Abbott says he believes the suspected gunman was shot and killed by responding officers after the 18-year-old man opened fire at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, a city about 85 miles west of San Antonio. Abbott says the shooter had a handgun and possibly a rifle. There's a heavy presence of police and FBI agents at the school. The Uvalde School District said the city's civic center is being used as a reunification center. The murder spree comes less than 2 weeks after a massacre in Buffalo, New York, when a gunman killed 10 black shoppers and workers at a supermarket. Authorities are calling that mass shooting a hate crime. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
Primary voters are turning out today in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Texas, and Minnesota. However, perhaps no state's results will be more closely watched than Georgia, where all eyes will be on former President Donald Trump's handpicked candidate for the Republican gubernatorial nomination. Trump has recruited former Senator David Perdue to take on incumbent Governor Brian Kemp. Kemp drew Trump's ire for refusing to push back against baseless claims of widespread voter fraud and a stolen election. Perdue's allies have been bracing for the possibility of a lopsided defeat. The highest court in Massachusetts has ruled a case against ExxonMobil over its role in climate change can move forward to trial. NPR's Laura Benshoff has more.
In 2019, the Massachusetts Attorney General sued ExxonMobil, saying the company had misled consumers about the harm fossil fuels pose to the climate, which it had known about since the 1970s. It also alleged the oil and gas giant hid information from investors about the harms climate change poses to its business model. In court documents, ExxonMobil called this and other climate change lawsuits, quote, politically motivated efforts to silence, end quote, and tried to get it thrown out using a statute that protects free speech from baseless attacks. The Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court disagreed with that argument, saying in its ruling that that law doesn't apply to government enforcement actions. The case can continue to trial. Laura Benchoff, NPR News.
For many Americans on the cusp of retirement, the current market slowdown could not come at a worse time, many facing the dilemma of whether to stay the course or keep working. With the broadest measure of the market, the S&P down around 17% from its all-time highs. 401ks and other retirement accounts tied to the stock market are down in many cases by a similar amount. Sharp reversal comes after what was a banner year for Wall Street in 2021. Looking at those numbers today, the stocks were mixed. The Dow up 48 points. The Nasdaq fell 270 points. You're listening to NPR.
For NPR News in the Twin Cities, I'm Perry Finelli. Mental health workers at Allina Health and M Health Fairview are striking only today, drawing attention to work conditions amid contract negotiations. Eric Immler is a psychiatric associate at the M Health Fairview University of Minnesota Medical Center. He says between closures of inpatient facilities, poor staff retention, and safety issues, it felt like the last straw.
So we're wanting to raise awareness of these conditions, and tomorrow we're going to go back to work because our patients need us. But at this point, we didn't know what to do.
Hundreds of psychiatric associates and mental health specialists at the two systems voted to join SEIU Healthcare in Minnesota last year. Fairview said in a statement, it has negotiated in good faith, but the current contract proposal violates its standards of care. It's an issue union members dispute. Negotiations are set to resume this week and next. Minneopa State Park near Mankato is having a baby boom of historically significant bison. Park officials say they believe 16 calves have been born to the herd, which was established in 2015. It's thought to be the most ever for the tiny herd. Scott Kudilka is the park naturalist for the DNR. He says it's part of a decades-old herd the state has been preserving.
We started out with our herd at Blue Mounds back in 1961. And then, I suppose, around 2009, 2011, they started looking at the genetics of our herd and realized it had very little cattle genetics in it. And that resulted in wanting to be part of this effort to save the wild bison.
A joint effort by the Minnesota Zoo and the DNR is aimed at expanding Minnesota's herd to about 500 animals. The Metropolitan Mosquito Control District began this year's surveillance of mosquitoes and black flies and found mosquito numbers are low for now. The district set traps on May 16th and found a lot of mosquito larvae in ponds and wetlands, but few adult mosquitoes. Staff are working to kill mosquito populations. Helicopters have treated nearly 55,000 acres of mosquito habitat in the past 2 weeks. May also is when the metro usually starts to see more biting gnats, also known as black flies. The district says those populations appear at normal levels, with higher numbers in Dakota and Carver counties. This is NPR News.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Washington.
And I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California. We begin this hour with the latest news out of Uvalde, Texas. If you have children around, please know the details of this story may not be appropriate for them to hear. This afternoon, a gunman entered Robb Elementary School in Uvalde and opened fire. According to Governor Greg Abbott and local law enforcement, 14 children are dead and one teacher. Robb Elementary is a school for students in the second, third, and fourth grades. Rebecca Salinas from KSAT TV in San Antonio joins us now with more. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Elsa. Thank you for having me.
Hi. So we are not reporting the name of the gunman at this time, but what is known about exactly how today unfolded?
So when shots rang out, we really didn't know exactly what was happening. Because we're located in San Antonio, it's about it's east of Uvalde, so we're like maybe 90 minutes away. We didn't really have people on the ground at that time, but we found out around noon that shots rang out at Robb Elementary. Around 12:17, that's when the Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District, that's when they confirmed that there was an actual shooter taking place. You know, we had reporters heading down there, and later on, that's when we found out by Texas Governor Greg Abbott that, in fact, sadly, 14 students were killed and one teacher was killed as well.
Right, and a number are injured. I imagine the local hospitals are treating students and staff who are injured. What do we know about their condition at this moment?
We know that 13 children were taken via ambulance or bus. They were taken to the Uvalde Memorial Hospital. From there, another two were taken to University Hospital in San Antonio, and they are in critical condition. Another two were also brought to San Antonio, and even we're a few hours after the shooting, things are still developing. We don't really know what grade these students were in, if they're in critical condition, if they're expected to be okay, and along with the rest of the state right now, we're still trying to figure out what condition these students and maybe teachers are in. Yeah. And the authorities are expected to give press conferences throughout the evening to give us updates on that.
Okay. Well, have you or have any of your colleagues been able to speak with residents in Uvalde, community members, parents of students who attend the school?
Yes. So one of our colleagues, Lee, she was actually at the center where they were reuniting students with their parents. And once she was there when when Greg Abbott announced that 14 students were killed, and she noticed that there was just a wave of sorrow outside the Civic Center. Some of the parents were going to the Civic Center expecting to be reunited with their child, and then that's when they were given the devastating news that their child actually died in the horrific shooting.
Well, we know that President Biden will be addressing the nation about what happened in Uvalde, Texas tonight in the next hour, I understand. We will be updating this story all night long here at All Things Considered and also on special coverage. Rebecca Salinas from KSAT TV in San Antonio, thank you very much for joining our show today.
Thank you for having me.
And now we turn to Georgia, where the state is in its final day of primary voting. Georgia is one of the most consequential political battleground states in the country, and for Republicans, the most consequential race.
Come from.
Robert J. Vlasic died at his home earlier this month in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. He was 96 years old.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you're listening to a special expanded version of All Things Considered on NPR News, so we can bring you the latest information on the shooting today at a Texas elementary school. 14 children killed, one teacher, and others injured. Going to be preempting Marketplace, also The Daily, The World Tonight, and also Fresh Air. Here on NPR News.
War in Ukraine grinds on.
It is 3 months already, and it has been hard at some point, especially within Easter, which is quite a family holiday always, and this year it is not the same. But the life goes on, the fight goes on.
I'm Kimberly Atkins-Store. Ukrainians living their lives amid war. That's on the next On Point.
And that is tonight at 9 on NPR News.
NPR News is member-supported. There are many ways you can support NPR News. Donate stock or a vehicle, donate a grant from your donor advised fund, or make a qualified charitable distribution. Make NPR a beneficiary of your will or retirement plan, or have your employer make a matching gift. Find out more at npr.org/moreways.
Expecting mostly cloudy skies around the state tonight, rain in the late evening and overnight. Lows should range from the mid-40s to low 50s, and then Wednesday cloudy with rain, high temperatures, low 50s to low 60s. Twin Cities becoming mostly cloudy tonight, rain overnight, lows around 50, cloudy, windy with rain tomorrow, highs in the low 50s. It's 60 now in Rochester, 68 degrees. In Fargo, Moorhead, Duluth, and St. Cloud, in the Twin Cities, skies are still mostly clear. Temperature is 67.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Raymond James, a firm focused on transforming lives, businesses, and communities through tape.
This is NPR News.
The abortion debate doesn't usually focus on economics, but denying access to the procedure can really hurt women's prospects.
To obtain more education, to avoid poverty.
I'll just simply say that as a guy raised by a black woman in abject poverty, I'm thankful to be here.
The economics of abortion, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
4 to 9 on NPR News. And tonight, we are bringing you a special edition of All Things Considered through 9 o'clock tonight, so we can bring you the latest coverage of the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas today. 15 people, including 14 children, are reported dead. We just preempted Marketplace tonight. Also preempting The Daily, The World, and Fresh Air, all which will return tomorrow night. Time now is just about 6:30 at NPR News. Coming up next, we'll check the latest world and national headlines.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Elsa Chang. Coming up, legendary film composer John Williams is turning 90 years old, and he's out with a new album, a collaboration with cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
I'm told that I should be counting in Celsius, which makes me 32.
The album is called A Gathering of Friends. First, the news.
Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. In Texas, authorities are investigating a mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde. It's about 85 miles from San Antonio that left at least 14 students and one teacher dead. Pete Arredondo is Uvalde School District Police Chief.
The suspect is deceased at this point. DPS is assisting with the investigation. And at this point, the investigation is leading to tell us that the suspect did act alone during this heinous crime.
Governor Greg Abbott says the suspect was an 18-year-old man who lived in town and reportedly shot his grandmother before attacking the school. President Biden ordered flags at the White House and federal buildings be flown at half-staff to honor the victims. Officials from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, are predicting another above-average hurricane season this year. Carly Berlin from member station WWNO has more from New Orleans.
This year's Atlantic hurricane season begins in just a few days on June 1st, and NOAA predicts another active hurricane season this year. If the forecasts play out, 2022 will be the seventh above-average year in a row. At a press conference in New York on Tuesday, the agency said it anticipates 14 to 21 named storms this season. Of those, they anticipate 6 to 10 will strengthen into hurricanes. And of those, they expect 3 to 6 to become major hurricanes, Category 3 or higher. Forecasters attribute warmer waters to climate change, triggering storms with increased intensity. For NPR News, I'm Carly Berlin in New Orleans.
Wall Street ended the day in mixed territory, the Dow up 48 points, the NASDAQ down 270, that's down 2.3%, S&P 500 down 32. You're listening to NPR News. In New Mexico, a spell of cool, humid weather is helping firefighters battling the state's largest ever fire. But as Alice Fordham from member station KUNM reports, the window of respite may be brief.
As winds have calmed, firefighters have used aircraft to cool areas of intense heat around the Calf Canyon Hermit's Peak fire. They've deepened containment lines by cutting down trees, particularly the dense conifers which have fueled the fire for nearly 7 weeks now. A little rain even fell to the delight of incident commanders. However, they warn that hot, dry weather is due to resume later this week, and the rest of the state continues to suffer from a fire season that began early and hit hard. Three other large blazes continue to burn, including the Black Fire in the Gila National Forest, which covers about 150,000 acres. Several areas of national forest in the state have been closed because the fire risk is so high. For NPR News, I'm Alice Fordham in Santa Fe.
Sales of new homes fell to a two-year low last month as higher mortgage rates and record prices squeezed would-be buyers. It's the fourth straight monthly decline. The Commerce Department says new home sales plunged 16.6% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 591,000 units in April. That's the lowest level since April of 2020. U.S. futures contracts are trading lower. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.
And the time now is 6:34. Reminder, NPR News providing expanded version of All Things Considered tonight so we can give you the latest coverage of the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. 15 people, including 14 children, are reported dead. We'll have reports throughout the night. And also tonight at about 7:15, President Biden is scheduled to address the nation about the shooting, and we plan special coverage shortly after the 7 o'clock newscast here on NPR News. Tonight, preempting The Daily, The World, and Fresh Air. And one note, tomorrow morning at 9, NPR News with Angela Davis will present a program about coping with grief that will incorporate the news of this week's two mass shootings. That's tomorrow at 9, NPR News with Angela Davis. Time now is 6:35 in the Twin Cities. The skies are now mostly cloudy. Temperature is 67 degrees.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from CFP, Certified Financial Planner Professionals, focused on providing holistic financial planning from retirement and investments to taxes and estate planning in the client's best interest. Let'sMakeAPlan.org. And from Procter & Gamble, maker of Align Probiotic, a daily supplement to support digestive health, containing a probiotic strain developed by gastroenterologists with 20 years of research. More at AlignProbiotics.com.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Washington. We've spent the last several hours following news of another mass shooting in the United States. This time, it's an elementary school in the town of Uvalde, Texas, about 85 miles from San Antonio. 14 children and one teacher are dead. Jacob Beltran covers crime and breaking news for the San Antonio Express News, and he's on the scene there. He joins us now with the latest. And Jacob, thank you for making time to share details with us as you're also trying to gather information.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I understand you've been at a community center where children and parents were or maybe are being reunited. Would you describe the scene for us?
Sure. So this community center, it's got a lot of green grass. You've got some stone siding to the building. A lot of these families that you mentioned are still sitting on this low-hanging stone wall just waiting for some word as to what the status of their own children is. I spoke with one gentleman named Jesse Rodriguez who was telling me that he still hasn't heard either from any hospitals or from officials here what the status of his 10-year-old little girl Annabelle is.
He just doesn't know either way, whether he hasn't been reunited yet or whether something worse happened.
Correct. And so it's very difficult for him to show his emotion because he just doesn't know how he's going to find her.
Have parents been told what the holdup is, why there's a delay in them getting this information?
No, we haven't heard any word from officials here at the scene. Some parents seem to be getting some information little by little. You can see the emotion on their faces as they react in tears. They've got a lot of support from family members that are here. And on that note, if I may, there are a lot of family members who also had their own children at the school who did survive, who were reunited. So there's a lot of mixed emotions here at the scene. Some people are happy that they were reunited and are now just concerned about these children that remain unaccounted for.
Jacob, I saw you tweet that voting is happening at the center, apparently, at the same time. That sounds very surreal that these two things could be happening simultaneously.
That's right. So earlier today, the scene was indeed surreal, as you still had a lot of signs for campaigners for local precincts. You had blue, you had red signs, and people were being escorted into and out of the building by Border Patrol agents and ATF agents. Some wearing body armor, others carrying rifles. So it was an odd scene to have all these different elements at play here. There was a lot of silence. It was very still. And that silence would sometimes be broken by a very brief emotional outburst. Parents who were picking up their children could be seen walking out in tears, either from the parents or from a child who was clinging on to their mother's shirt.
We know the basics. It appears that a lone teenage gunman entered the school, opened fire, and now 15 people are dead. Have any more details emerged about the shooter, his motive, anything more?
We haven't heard anything about a motive. So far, we've been learning that he may have been a former student at an area high school, but we're still working to confirm these details. Honestly, motive is still hanging in the air, but as you've heard from the chief earlier, investigators believe so far that he was acting alone.
What can you tell us about this city? I understand it's a small city and the community there.
That's right. So the city is a population about in the 20,000s. It's mostly Hispanic. It's a beautiful Texas hill country. Whenever you think of that word, this is a kind of south of the Texas, southern path of the Texas hill country, And it's where a lot of people come to get away. You've got a beautiful river nearby, a lot of resorts in the area. And so definitely just a great place for people to come. But it's unfortunately been stricken by this horrific tragedy today.
Small enough that it sounds like everyone probably knew someone or a good chance they did.
That's right. In fact, one of the families here is supporting another family, a gentleman who wasn't able to drive himself because his vehicle became trapped by a lot of other emergency vehicles. So he's been taking his relative where he can also to try to find word of what happened to his child.
And by the way, quickly, Jacob, do you know roughly the size of the student population at this school, this elementary school?
I believe around 600, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you very much again for covering this, as you're also reporting on it. We may hear from you again as we continue to cover this. Again, we are reporting on a mass shooting today at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, about 85 miles from San Antonio. 14 children and one teacher are dead. We've been talking with Jacob Beltran of the San Antonio Express News. Jacob, again, thank you very much for your time.
Of course. Thank you.
In the world of video game production, workers are often pushed to put in long hours in the run-up to a release and harassed. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
6:48 now. You're listening to a special edition of All Things Considered on NPR News, so we can bring you the latest coverage of the school shooting in Texas, where 15 people, including 14 children, are reported dead. President Biden scheduled to address the nation in the next half hour, and we will have special coverage during the 7 o'clock hour here on NPR News, tonight preempting The Daily, The World, and Fresh Air.
Programming is supported by the McKnight Foundation, advancing a more just, creative, and abundant future where people and planet thrive. Online at McKnight.org.
Support comes from Able Light, the new name for Bethesda Lutheran Communities, helping people with intellectual and developmental disabilities live full and empowered lives by providing safe and loving housing, education, and more. Info and employment opportunities at AbleLight.org.
Support comes from Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Summer is the busiest season for HVAC contractors. A spring AC tune-up can catch problems before the heat of the summer. To schedule your tune-up, visit standardheating.com/contact.
We will have On Point tonight at 9, checking in on the people of Ukraine tonight. Since the start of the war, we've listened to voices from Ukraine as the war grinds on. How do Ukrainians see things? That's tonight at 9 on Point on NPR News. Looks like rain will develop late tonight and overnight around much of the state. Low temperatures will range from the mid-40s to low 50s, and then tomorrow, rain. High temperatures, low 50s to low 60s. Twin Cities, rain overnight, lows around 50, cloudy, windy with rain tomorrow. Steady temperatures in the low 50s. 68 degrees at last report in Duluth, St. Cloud, and Fargo-Moorhead. 60 in Rochester. In the Twin Cities, mostly cloudy skies, temperature at 66 degrees.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. John Williams has written so many of the movie scores that have gotten stuck in
Virginia and North Carolina, or from all agents.
On Morning Edition, Kathy Werzer asks the questions that need to be answered.
What is it about depression that makes it tough to treat?
It's challenging for a number.
Tune in weekdays from 4 to 9 on Minnesota Public Radio News.
This is NPR News, 91.1 KNOW, Minneapolis and St. Paul. bringing you special coverage of the shooting in Texas today. Special edition of All Things Considered through 9 o'clock tonight, preempting the world and fresh air. Coming up, President Biden will address the nation, and we will have live coverage. Right now in the Twin Cities, 66 degrees. Skies are mostly cloudy. Expecting rain overnight as the low drops off to around 50 degrees. Steady temperatures in the low 50s tomorrow with cloudy skies and rain and northeast winds, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Thursday, cloudy, the slight chance of showers in the morning, partly cloudy in the afternoon, highs in the mid-60s.
A shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, has left 14 children and one teacher dead. The shooter is also dead. President Biden will deliver remarks this evening.
For Tuesday, May 24th, this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Elsa Chang. High inflation is weighing on the U.S. economy, increasing the risk of a recession and forcing some families to make tough choices about what they can afford.
People have to really decide on whether to buy food or to buy gas.
Also, Boeing's Starliner capsule returns to Earth tomorrow after a short visit to the space station.
You're hurtling back through the atmosphere and you're seeing through my toes. I was able to see the flashes of pink and yellow and white and see the sparks fly by.
And federal forecasters released their hurricane outlook for the year. First, news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Another deadly school shooting, this time at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. An 18-year-old gunman reported to be armed with multiple weapons, opening fire inside the school, killing at least 14 children and a teacher. Authorities say the gunman is also dead. It's the deadliest shooting at an elementary school since the attack at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut a decade ago that left 26 people dead. And speaking on the Senate floor today, U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut said it's time to act.
What are we doing? Just days after a shooter walked into a grocery store to gun down African-American patrons, we have another Sandy Hook on our hands.
President Biden, meanwhile, has returned from a meeting in Japan and is set to address the nation at this hour. He's ordered flags flown at half-staff on federal buildings to, quote, respect the victims of the shooting. Authorities in New York say they've arrested a suspect in what was called an unprovoked fatal shooting of a man on a subway train in Lower Manhattan this past weekend. Police say the suspect, 25-year-old Andrew Abdullah, was taken into custody hours after his name and photo were posted on social media. Abdullah is expected to face murder charges for the shooting death of 48-year-old financial analyst Daniel Enriquez. A Federal Trade Commission investigation has been launched into the ongoing shortage of infant formula. More from NPR's Scott Horsley.
The FTC wants to know if formula makers or anyone else is taking advantage of the shortage to charge exorbitant prices or making it harder for customers in rural areas or inner city neighborhoods to find formula. The commission also plans to look at how the formula industry got so concentrated to the point where shuttering a single factory can lead to empty store shelves around the country. The federal government itself is the biggest buyer of infant formula through its WIC program, which supplies low-income families. The FTC will look at whether changes to that program might promote a more resilient supply of baby formula, as well as other ways to prevent similar shortages in the future. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pushing back against the Archbishop of San Francisco, who's instructed his priest to not offer her communion because of her views on abortion rights. Member station KQED in San Francisco, Keith Mizuguchi has more.
Making her first public comments on the issue, Pelosi says Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione hasn't taken similar stances on other controversial issues. Here's Pelosi speaking with MSNBC this morning.
I wonder about death penalty, which I am opposed to. So is the church, but they take no action against people who may not share their view.
Pelosi also pointed out the Archbishop's strong opposition to the rights of the LGBTQ community, which she says is not consistent with the Bible. For NPR News, I'm Keith Mizuguchi in San Francisco.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 48 points. The Nasdaq closed down 270 points today. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Progressive Insurance, home of the Name Your Price tool, so drivers can see coverage options at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
For NPR News in the Twin Cities, I'm Perry Finelli. Candidates hoping to win the Minnesota congressional seat left open by the death of Republican Representative Jim Hagedorn are getting their first test votes before voters today. The winners of GOP and DFL primaries will meet in August to determine who will finish the last few months of Hagedorn's term. A federal judge today released a Minneapolis man who'd been jailed on suspicion of attacking U.S. Capitol Police during the January 6th insurrection. Matt Sepik reports.
Of the eight Minnesotans charged in the attack, Brian Christopher Mock is the only one who was detained ahead of trial. But after a hearing in Washington, Judge James Boasberg ordered the 43-year-old released to the custody of his parents in Virginia with a 10 p.m. curfew and GPS monitoring. Mock allegedly shoved two officers to the ground, kicked one, and passed a riot shield to the mob, then warned his ex-girlfriend not to talk to the FBI. Cases are still pending against Mock and five other Minnesota defendants. Daniel Eugene Johnson of Austin faces sentencing next week after pleading guilty to felony obstruction. And in November, a judge sentenced Jordan Kenneth Stotts of Moorhead to 60 days home confinement after he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor count of picketing in the Capitol. I'm Matt Sepik, Minneapolis.
Governor Tim Walz has named Nancy Dobenberger as his new transportation commissioner. It's a post she filled on an interim basis since the departure of former Commissioner Margaret Anderson Kelleher. Dobenberger has worked for the Minnesota Department of Transportation for more than 22 years in engineering and management positions. Kelleher, a former speaker of the Minnesota House, left this year to become Public Works Director for the city of Minneapolis. This is NPR News.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Washington.
And I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California. There's been a shooting at an elementary school in Texas. It happened at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, which is about 85 miles west of San Antonio. Here's what we know so far, according to the governor of Texas. 14 children and a teacher are dead. More than a dozen other children have been injured. Governor Greg Abbott says the suspected gunman is dead as well. We're awaiting remarks now from President Biden on this shooting. When the president comes to the microphone, we will bring you his remarks live. But first, Texas Public Radio's Brian Kirkpatrick is in Uvalde and joins us now. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
So I've mentioned just some of the details that we know so far. Can you add to them? What have you learned?
We understand, according to the governor's office, the gunman entered the school around 11:32, armed with possibly two weapons and opened fire. And as you reported earlier, 14 students dead and one teacher. They wrapped up a news conference here at the Civic Center in Uvalde, but did not place actual numbers on dead or wounded. So we're still waiting for more information here at the Civic Center.
And how much do we know about what kind of firearms were involved?
The governor's office apparently reported that he may have been armed with a rifle and a handgun. But again, the local investigators have been shying away from details. They would not take any questions after a news conference that wrapped up about 30 minutes ago. We're hoping to hear more again later this evening.
Okay. Well, Brian, what is the scene like where you are right now? Like, where exactly have you been in Uvalde?
Uvalde is a very small town, largely farming and ranching, a little more than an hour's drive west of San Antonio, very peaceful town. The scene is largely here at the Civic Center, where parents or loved ones have been coming and going, checking on the information about their loved ones through authorities here at the Civic Center, but have been quickly ushered away by law enforcement. So far, family members don't seem, are obviously very distraught, and we haven't seen much comment right now.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little more about the town of Uvalde or the surrounding area? Like, just give us a sense.
Yeah, Uvalde is one of those typical Texas towns that largely revolves around Friday night football. There's a lot of civic pride through your Friday night football games, and you'll see booster signs up in all the windows during the school year. And these kind of towns are very close knit because of that, and that includes their schools. They're a central part of the community, so when something happens to a school, it really affects everybody here because a lot of folks that grow up here, live and die here. And, it's that kind of connected community.
Yeah.
It's also anyway, that's hopefully gives you some idea.
Well, as to the suspected gunman, who we are told is now dead, do we know anything about him? We are hearing that he was 18 years old. Do we know anything about a possible motive?
We do not. We just know that he's 18 and hear from a Uvalde. We're, again, still waiting on more information. There's a lot of law enforcement here at the Civic Center, a lot of family members, a lot of community members. The county judge showed up here, Bill Mitchell, and he has been greeting people as they come to the Civic Center and offering his condolences.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. So how have local and other state officials been responding? Can you give us an idea?
You know, I have been nonstop since this happened and been going between the school and the Civic Center, but I believe a lot of state officials, local officials, you know, are already expressing, you know, condolences and dismay, you know, that yet another one of these shootings has happened in this country.
It never seems to end. Well, as we've been told by the governor's office, 14 children and one teacher are now dead. But those who are injured, do you know anything about what condition they are in at the moment? What do we know?
We understand they went to medical facilities here in Uvalde and also in San Antonio. In fact, driving out here, I had several ambulances passing by me going back towards San Antonio as I was coming into Uvalde. But as far as conditions, no, we're not hearing anything on that either.
Okay. That is Brian Kirkpatrick with Texas Public Radio reporting from Uvalde with the latest details about the shooting that has left at least 14 children and one teacher dead. Thank you very much, Brian. We are going to be staying with this story throughout the evening. All right, we're just 1 week away from the start of hurricane season, and federal forecasters are predicting. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
7:18, you're listening to a special edition of All Things Considered on NPR News, so we can bring you the latest coverage of the school shooting in Texas today. 20 people, including 18 children, one adult, and the alleged 18-year-old gunman shot dead. President Biden's scheduled to address the nation here any moment, and we'll bring you those remarks when they happen.
Programming is supported by the Shakopee Mitawakatin Sioux Community, a sovereign tribal nation in Scott County, now hiring. Learn more about the tribe at ShakopeeDakota.org and at its public exhibit in Shakopee.
Support comes from St. Paul Farmers Market. You'll find fresh fruits and veggies, plants, humanely raised meats, eggs, cheese, and other locally produced foods at more than 20 metro markets. More at stpaulfarmersmarket.com.
Programming is supported by Talk, a reservation and event platform with options all around the Twin Cities, from neighborhood sushi counters to downtown cocktail lounges. Learn more at ExploreTalk. That's TOCK.com. Delicious starts here.
Programming supported by the University of Northwestern St. Paul, a faith-based liberal arts university offering virtual format of graduate certificate and master's degree programs in healthcare management. UNWSP.edu/MPR.
Once again, listening to an expanded version of All Things Considered, preempting the world and fresh air tonight. And one programming note, tomorrow morning at 9, NPR News with Angela Davis will present a program about coping with grief that will incorporate the news of this week's two mass shootings. That's NPR News with Angela Davis tomorrow morning at 9 here on NPR News. Rochester's at 59 degrees right now, 67 in both Duluth and St. Cloud. Fargo-Moorhead at 68 degrees. In the Twin Cities, skies are mostly cloudy. Temperature is 66.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Indeed. Committed to helping.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
The abortion debate doesn't usually focus on economics, but denying access to the procedure can really hurt women's prospects.
To obtain more education, to avoid poverty.
I'll just simply say that as a guy raised by a black woman in abject poverty, I'm thankful to be here.
The economics of abortion on the next morning edition from NPR News.
4 to 9 on NPR News. Standing by for an address by President Biden to the nation about the shooting in Texas today, where 20 people died, including 18 children, two adults, including the alleged 18-year-old gunman, We'll have those remarks as soon as he begins to speak. Preempting tonight, the world and fresh air on point is on tonight at 9. On the program tonight, checking in on the people of Ukraine. Since the start of the war, we've listened to voices from Ukraine. As the war grinds on, how do Ukrainians see things? That's tonight at 9 on Point. Rain developing around the state overnight. Low temperatures, mid-40s to low 50s. And then for Wednesday, cloudy with rain. High temperatures, low 50s to low 60s. Twin Cities, rain developing overnight. Lows around 50. Cloudy, windy, rain on Wednesday. Steady temperatures in the low 50s. Right now, cloudy and 65. News is next.
Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. In Texas, a community is in mourning today after an 18-year-old gunman opened fire at an elementary school. The Texas Department of Public Safety says 18 students and two adults are dead. Several others were injured. Governor Greg Abbott says the shooter is dead and that he entered Robb Elementary School with a handgun, possibly a rifle.
We're in the process of obtaining detailed background information on the subject, his motive, the types of weapons used, the legal authority to possess them, and conduct a comprehensive crime scene investigation and reconstruction, and identify and interview all witnesses and provide victim services and other support as needed.
The gunman was a resident of Uvalde. That's about 85 miles from San Antonio. No word yet on a motive. President Biden has ordered flags flown at half-staff at the White House and at federal buildings. A county judge in Texas has granted a temporary injunction so doctors at Children's Medical Center Dallas may be able to treat trans youth through next spring. Elena Rivera from member station KERA has more.
A gender-affirming care program called Genesis at Children's and UT Southwestern Medical Center quietly stopped taking new trans patients in November. Dr. Jimena Lopez, who ran the program, said stopping this care could put patients at risk. A Dallas judge granted a temporary restraining order which allowed Lopez to accept new patients for 2 weeks. She says she got calls from more than 50 families asking for appointments after that. Now, with the temporary injunction, the hospital can see patients for the next year until the court date in April 2023, unless there's an appeal. I'm Elena Rivera in Dallas.
Wall Street ended the day in mixed territory, the Dow up 48, the Nasdaq down 270, S&P 500 down 32. Asian markets are trading mixed, the Nikkei down about 0.4%, the Asia Dow up 0.4%. You're listening to NPR News. The Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America is getting $122.6 million from philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. As NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports, Scott's been giving away billions of dollars to charity since her divorce from Amazon's Jeff Bezos.
Artis Stevens, president of Big Brothers Big Sisters, says he had no idea the donation was coming until Mackenzie Scott's representatives called him.
They told me the information and told me the number, and I was floating on cloud nine.
The number, $122.6 million, is the largest donation the mentoring organization has received from an individual since it was founded in 1904. Steven says the money will help Big Brothers Big Sisters deepen and expand its mentoring experience. Mackenzie Scott helped build Amazon with her ex-husband, Jeff Bezos. She received a 4% stake in Amazon when they divorced. She's given away some $12 billion to more than 1,000 groups, including Habitat for Humanity and Planned Parenthood. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
Several Army bases in the U.S. could soon be renamed and drop the current names that commemorate Confederate officers. An independent commission is recommending name changes for nine Army posts, including Fort Bragg in North Carolina, which would become Fort Liberty, and Fort Gordon in Georgia, which would become Fort Eisenhower. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News.
And if you're wondering where the world is tonight, we are preempting that and fresh air to bring you an expanded edition of All Things Considered so we can bring you the latest coverage of the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas today. 20 people dead, including 18 children, two adults, one a teacher, and one the alleged 18-year-old gunman shot dead. We are awaiting remarks from President Biden to the nation talking about the shooting. We will have that for you just as soon as that begins here on NPR News. And one other program note, tomorrow morning at 9, after morning edition, of course, with all the latest in the shooting and all the other news, NPR News with Angela Davis, presenting a program about coping with grief that will incorporate the news of this week's two mass shootings. That's tomorrow at 9, NPR News with Angela Davis. Time now is 7:35 in the Twin Cities. Skies are mostly cloudy. Temperature is 65 degrees.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Procter & Gamble, maker of Align Probiotic, a daily supplement to support digestive health, containing a probiotic strain developed by gastroenterologists with 20 years of research. More at AlignProbiotics.com. And from C3 AI. C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable problems. C3 AI is enterprise AI.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Washington.
And I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California. We begin this hour with the latest news out of Uvalde, Texas. For those of you with children nearby, what you're about to hear may not be appropriate for young listeners. Earlier today, a gunman walked into an elementary school and killed 18 children and 2 adults. Now, this is still a developing story that we're going to be updating for the rest of this evening on All Things Considered. We are awaiting remarks from President Biden as well, and we will carry those remarks live when they happen. But first, we're joined now by NPR's Corey Turner. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Elsa.
So what do we know at this hour about what exactly happened today?
Yeah, we've heard from multiple law enforcement authorities, as well as Texas Governor Greg Abbott, that an 18-year-old male who is reported to have been a student at the local high school there in Uvalde abandoned his vehicle and around 11:32 today entered Robb Elementary School in Uvalde with a handgun and possibly a rifle, though that is not yet confirmed. We now know 20 people were killed in the rampage, including 18 children. Robb Elementary currently has second, third, and fourth grade classes, so we're talking about kids who are 8, 9, and maybe 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Authorities have said the suspected shooter is dead. It is believed that he was killed by responding officers. Governor Abbott said 2 responding officers were also struck by rounds but were not injured seriously. And as you said, we expect to hear from President Biden here in just a little bit.
Right. Okay, so this suspected shooter who is now dead, what further details do we know about him?
Yeah, we're not yet reporting his name, but Governor Abbott did say the gunman is reported to have shot his grandmother before he entered the school. That obviously, Elsa, conjures memories of another mass shooting from 10 years ago when a 20-year-old gunman in Newtown, Connecticut, shot and killed his mother at their home and then drove to Sandy Hook Elementary School where he shot and killed 20 children and 6 staff members.
I mean, it really is hard to believe that that was a whole decade ago. When you think about the conversation around gun control and gun rights and mental health, I mean, how much do you think that conversation has evolved over the last decade?
Yeah, the honest answer is I don't think very much, or at least it hasn't changed very much. You know, I was thinking just this morning, before this shooting, of the time that I was in Texas, not that long ago, it was exactly 4 years ago, to cover another school shooting. That one was in Santa Fe, where 8 students and 2 teachers were shot to death in their classrooms. In terms of preventing shootings like this, I feel like schools in many places have really stepped up. And stepped up efforts specifically to help students with mental health struggles. In fact, you know, just a few years ago, I visited Scarlett Lewis, who's the mother of Jesse Lewis, who is one of those children. He was 6 when he was killed at Sandy Hook. And she's been a real force behind getting schools to embrace teaching kids compassion and really building social emotional skills in schools, Elsa.
All right, that is NPR's Corey Turner. Thank you very much, Corey.
And this is live special coverage from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. We're going to go in a few minutes to the White House, where President Joe Biden will be delivering remarks about the deadly mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas.
And I'm Elsa Chang. Uvalde is about 90 miles west of San Antonio, and we are still gathering information about what exactly happened there today. Here is what we do know so far. The shooting happened at Robb Elementary School. 18 children and 2 adults were killed in the attack, and that number could rise. Now, the 18-year-old gunman was killed. We are not reporting his name at the moment. He was reportedly a student at a local high school in that area. A number of other students and staff are injured, some in critical condition, though we are still waiting to hear more details.
We do know from speaking with some reporters in Texas today that the community center where families were reunited with their kids today was also a voting site, so a surreal scene as families were reunited with their kids and some people were casting ballots. It's a small city, about 15,000, largely Hispanic, Latino population, so a city small enough that many people likely had connections to the school. We also heard that the superintendent of the school district said that classes are canceled for the rest of the school year. And for our live coverage, we are joined by two of our correspondents. Tamara Keith covers the White House for NPR. Corey Turner is an NPR education correspondent. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Tam, I know the president recently got back from Asia. Where was he when he received news of the shooting?
He was on Air Force One on the flight back, and he, before he even landed, issued a proclamation ordering flags lowered to half staff through the weekend. He was briefed on Air Force One, and he also called Governor Abbott to offer any federal assistance that could be helpful.
And Corey, you have been following developments in Texas throughout this afternoon and now evening. Governor Abbott spoke earlier today. Can you tell us a little more about what the governor said?
Yeah, he said, again, we know it was an 18-year-old gunman who apparently abandoned his car outside of Robb Elementary and walked into the school and killed 18 children and two adults. We also know that Robb Elementary serves second, third, and fourth grades. So presumably these children are roughly 8, 9, 10 years old. Governor Abbott did say that it had been reported that the gunman shot and killed his grandmother before going to the school, but that's not confirmed.
Okay, and it looks like President Biden is approaching the podium.
When I became president, I would not have to do this again. Another massacre. Uvalde, Texas. An elementary school. Beautiful. Innocent, second, third, fourth graders. And how many scores of little children who witnessed what happened see their friends die as if they're on a battlefield, for God's sake? They'll live with it the rest of their lives. There's a lot we don't know yet. There's a lot we do know. The parents who will never see their child again, never have them jump in bed and cuddle with them. Parents will never be the same. To lose a child is like having a piece of your soul ripped away. There's a hollowness in your chest. You feel like you're being sucked into it and never going to be able to get out, suffocating. And it's never quite the same. It's a feeling shared by the siblings and the grandparents and the family members and the community that's left behind. Scripture says, Jill and I have talked about this in different contexts, in other contexts, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So many crushed spirits. So tonight, I ask the nation to pray for them, give the parents and siblings the strength in the darkness they feel right now. As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? When in God's name we do what we all know in our gut needs to be done? It's been 3,448 days, 10 years since I stood up at a high school in Connecticut, a grade school in Connecticut, where another gunman massacred 26 people, including 20 first graders at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Since then, there have been over 900 incidents of gunfires reported on school grounds. Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Santa Fe High School in Texas. Oxford High School in Michigan. The list goes on and on, and the list grows when it includes mass shootings at places like movie theaters, houses of worship, as we saw just 10 days ago at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. I am sick and tired of it. We have to act. And don't tell me we can't have an impact on this carnage. I spent my career as a senator and a vice president working to pass common sense gun laws. We can and won't prevent every tragedy, but we know they work and have positive impact. When we passed the assault weapons ban, mass shootings went down. When the law expired, mass shootings tripled. The idea that an 18-year-old kid can walk into a gun store and buy two assault weapons is just wrong. What in God's name do you need an assault weapon for except to kill someone? Deer aren't running through the forest with Kevlar vests on, for God's sake. It's just sick. And the gun manufacturers have spent two decades aggressively marketing assault weapons, which make them the most and largest profit. For God's sake, we have to have the courage to stand up to the industry. Here's what else I know. Most Americans support common sense laws, common sense gun laws. I just got off a trip from Asia, meeting with Asian leaders. And I learned of this while I was on the aircraft. And what struck me on that 17-hour flight, what struck me was these kinds of mass shootings rarely happen anywhere else in the world. Why? They have mental health problems. They have domestic disputes in other countries. They have people who are lost. But these kinds of mass shootings never happen with the kind of frequency they happen in America. Why? Why are we willing to live with this carnage? Why do we keep letting this happen? Where in God's name is our backbone to have the courage to deal with it and stand up to the lobbies? It's time to turn this pain into action for every parent. For every citizen in this country, we have to make it clear to every elected official in this country, it's time to act. It's time for those who obstruct or delay or block the common sense gun laws. We need to let you know that we will not forget. We can do so much more. We have to do more. Our prayer tonight is for those parents lying in bed and trying to figure out, will I be able to sleep again? What do I say to my other children? What happens tomorrow? May God bless the loss of innocent life on this sad day. And may the Lord be near the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit, because they're going to need a lot of help, a lot of our prayers. God love you.
All right. This is Elsa Chang with Sasha Pfeiffer, and you have been listening to live special coverage of President Biden's remarks on today's school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. 18 students and two adults were killed at Robb Elementary School. That number could rise. We are still waiting to confirm and learn more. The gunman was also killed. Again, this is live special coverage from NPR News.
And listening along with us are Tamara Keith, NPR White House correspondent, and also Corey Turner, NPR education correspondent. Thanks to both of you for being here.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Tam and Corey, we heard the president talk about there being many crushed spirits today. He talked about losing a child being like having a piece of our soul ripped away. And Tam, as you know, that's something he knows personally. I'm wondering, as you listen to him today, do you feel like you heard him speak like this before? Because he's been through this before with his own family.
Certainly. And he alluded to that, saying that he and his wife, Jill Biden, the first lady, was there with him when he delivered this statement, which is somewhat unusual. He said that they talked about how scripture says the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirits. This is something he says that they talk about in other contexts, but that it applies here. I think the other thing that stands out is that he did, although he spent a lot of time talking about the families who will be mourning, he also turned to talk about policy. He said, as a nation, we must ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? Then later, he said, where in God's name is our backbone? Turn this pain into action. Certainly, he was vice president when the Sandy Hook school shooting happened. This is the most deadly shooting at an elementary school since then. It's been a decade. And in terms of policy that he's advocating for, almost nothing has changed.
Tim, what did he try to make happen after Sandy Hook? I mean, you've said not much has happened. What was he advocating for, at least?
Well, there was a sort of a two-part effort. He looked, he was the lead person in the White House looking at potential administrative actions that could be taken, executive actions. There was a long list that he came up with. But, executive action, as every president discovers, really isn't the same as a law. And there was an effort, a legislative effort, headed by Senators Joe Manchin of West Virginia, a Democrat, and Patrick Toomey of Pennsylvania, a Republican, to do background check legislation, to expand the background check system. Ultimately, that failed. They couldn't clear a 60-vote filibuster hurdle. Even some Democrats dropped off. Only four Republicans ultimately supported it. It was a major defeat, and it was a defeat for Biden and his idea that something could happen. You know, he had been the driving force behind the assault weapons ban back in the 1990s. He continues to say that he thinks that that's what should happen again. But the political will, the political math isn't there. Senator Manchin says he still supports that old legislation, but he doesn't support overturning the filibuster, which would be required to actually bring it up for an up or down vote.
All right. I want to bring Corey Turner in here. Corey, if I'm stating this accurately, is this the 27th school shooting this year already, just in 2022? Here we are in May. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's according to a database that Education Week keeps and has kept for several years. I think it was since the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas school shooting in Florida. It's kind of hard to process, isn't it? 27th
really
school
is.
Shooting of the year, especially, again, when we think about Uvalde specifically, it really does conjure for me memories of Sandy Hook, since we're talking about children who are 8, 9, and 10 years old here. I'm not sure what there is to do here besides grieve and ultimately start asking again many of the same hard questions that, as Tam just said, we've been asking after many of these school shootings. As an education reporter, I can expand that a bit. You know, I mean, after I went to Texas 4 years ago to cover the Santa Fe school shooting, where 10 people were killed, including 8 students, you know, there was a big push for metal detectors in schools, but it's not clear that metal detectors are going to solve these problems. Research doesn't seem to suggest so. There was a movement to arm teachers. But I know the group Every Town for Gun Safety adamantly opposes arming teachers. And as far as pushing for stiffer gun laws, or as President Biden called them, common sense gun laws, I mean, I can say many child advocates certainly believe that's what needs to be done. I should point out that in 2020, guns actually became the leading cause of death among children in the U.S. For decades, it had been car accidents. But while cars have gotten safer, obviously, guns haven't. And I also got a statement not that long ago from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which said, when will we as a nation stand up for all of these children? And the AAP renewed its calls on the federal government to increase funding for research into gun violence prevention and for common sense laws that they said protect everyone in a community.
Yeah. Tim, I want to turn to you because the president spoke to Governor Abbott this evening, and we know that what happened today will reignite a conversation about gun control, as always seems to happen after these terrible mass shootings. Where do you see that conversation going in this current political climate? I mean, you mentioned they couldn't get past the 60-vote threshold in the Senate after Sandy Hook. Do you see that conversation politically changing 10 years later? Or almost.
Senator, Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut, who has been very active on this issue. He's a Democrat ever since Sandy Hook, was on the floor of the Senate today, essentially pleading with his colleagues, asking them, you know, if we can't do something now, then why are we even here? But it's not clear that anything can be done. One interesting thing to note is that President Biden's nominee to head the ATF, the major gun regulator in the federal government, his nominee is set to have a committee hearing tomorrow before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, his previous nominee didn't clear the Senate. And so this is the president's second try. There hasn't been a confirmed ATF director since 2015. This is, you know, an area where administrative action could potentially be taken on guns, but where just the sheer politics of guns in Congress right now means that even an ATF director has a really hard time getting confirmed. It's been almost impossible for, you know, going on 7 years.
Corey, when you were talking about the usual debate happening between, is the answer metal detectors, is the answer arming guards, I was thinking about that here in the studio we have a number of screens with different TV stations. And on CNN, we saw someone talking about the need for more gun control. On Fox, we saw someone talking about hardening the target, arming guards. So you're right. I think that immediate debate happens right away as soon as this happens, the divide between how to solve this. You know, Corey.
Yeah, it's interesting how we all fall into our own camps. And I just want to add on to something that Tam just said about, you know, the powerful gun lobby when it comes to lawmakers in Congress pushing for any more reforms. You know, like, I think it's worth noting that in just a few days, the National Rifle Association is scheduled to have its annual meeting in Houston, which I believe is about a 4-hour drive from Uvalde. And scheduled guests there are Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, the state's two senators, Ted Cruz, John Cornyn, and former President Donald Trump.
Corey, when you were in Santa Fe, Texas, back in 2018, you covered a school shooting at a high school there. 10 people died. Santa Fe, Texas, right? We're not talking Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yes.
When you have watched how a community copes with a tragedy like this, have you picked up or learned any patterns? Is it a familiar pattern?
I mean, I think what the headlines miss in moments like this is first and foremost the absolute horror of the families who have to somehow make it through, some of whom at this very moment may still be waiting for word from authorities. I don't know where exactly we are in that process. From Santa Fe, I remember very clearly the story of one mother who rushed to the high school when she'd heard there had been a shooting, but couldn't get close. And had to wait at a designated meeting point. She had multiple kids at the school, and one of them called her to say she thought the firing was coming from the art room where she knew her sister was. Turns out the mom did finally get a call that her daughter Sarah was alive, but had been shot several times and taken to the hospital. And I know longer term, you know, even long after the country stops paying attention to places like Santa Fe or Newtown, you know, the pain and the coping, it just doesn't end.
Yeah. All right. That is going to do it for live special coverage. In a moment, we will return to our regular programming with much more analysis of this mass shooting at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. On air, on NPR.org, and across our social platforms. I am Elsa Chang.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. And thank you to NPR's Tamara Keith and Corey Turner. You have been listening to live special coverage from NPR News.
Join The Current and the Walker Arts Center for Rock the Garden, June 11th in the Minneapolis Sculpture Garden. Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, Slater Kinney, Low, and more. Tickets and details at rockthegardenfestival.com.
You're listening to NPR News, 91.1 KNOW, Minneapolis-St. Paul, discovering what matters. Stream us anytime at nprnews.org. Preempting fresh air tonight with the latest news on the shooting at the elementary school in Texas. today. And we'll be joining the BBC here momentarily with the latest from London. Right now, 65 degrees, mostly cloudy skies in the Twin Cities, rain developing overnight, low temperatures around 50 degrees. Then tomorrow, steady temperatures in the low 50s, a cloudy, windy, rainy day. Right now, again, it's cloudy and 65 at 8 o'clock.